Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and today led by their fearless leader, Ruben Franco.
Wow.
Are you fearless leader, or are you just a...
Like I said, I went to Catholic school, so yes, definitely.
You're a tough guy, he's been through the war at Catholic school.
You have to be. Yeah, I've dealt with bad guys, and that's, they're nothing compared to a nun that's 4'11".
An angry nun.
I was there.
Believe me. Yeah.
So who'd you bring in today? This guy seems real peaceful and teddy bear, but he's been kind of a tough guy here, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, Victor Vasquez, who we have on the show today. Everybody, welcome to our community, your community show, sponsored by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber. We have one of our great members, Victor Vasquez, here. He's also our Santa Claus for us when we do our toy drive every year, and as long with his beautiful wife Valerie, is Mrs. Claus. So
we're showing the picture right now.
We don't see the picture here, but they're showing it to the rest of the audience. But thank you for doing that. Thank you for you and Valerie doing that. That's awesome. And you guys make a wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, Perry.
Is that when he grows the beard? Does he keep it all year just for that? He's got a cool beard.
I do actually. I started growing it about, I think, five years ago.
Okay.
We go to see the kids at the high schools, the special needs classes. And one of the years, I've been doing it for like almost 12 years, and one of the years the kid yanked it, the fake one.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So when that fake one came down, they were all like in a shock, you know, because every year we go see him. So they're like, you know, every year we get the same, the same Santa Claus. And some of the kids were like, of course, because it's the real one. So when that came down, I was like, dude, this is traumatic for them. Excuse me. So I decided, you know what? How hard can it be to just grow one?
Yeah.
So I did, and I guess by chance.
And easy to grow one like that.
It was also growing out white, so it just made sense.
Yeah. Let's get you to move a little closer to the mic. Yeah. You're a little further from
it. It looks great. Why you look like a great Santa Claus when you do it for us, and not just us, but the rest of the community as well.
Yeah, so. I just can't get that laugh down.
Yeah,
you know, the kids ask me, and I'm just like,
I can't do the ho ho.
I know. I need to practice that more.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for everything you do for us.
Thank you guys for having me
as a chamber, and we don't succeed as a chamber without our great members and our people who are out there, you know, telling our story and all that. And you've also been through our small business development program, which is one of our biggest programs as well. That helps people start a business, grow a business, get funding for a business. And you've been through that for the optometry business?
Yes, for the optical.
Optical business, okay. Tell us a little bit about that, your experience with the SPDC, going through that, and how it was able to help you.
Well, it was actually a very, very interesting experience because, I mean, obviously a lot of times as business owners, you kind of go through something thinking, oh, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I know everything. And you kind of get to a spot where it's like, you know, there's a lot that you don't know. So being able to work with a consultant from the SPDC is a very, very valuable tool. They were a resource. They were able to help me actually map out where we wanted to go and how to grow in that sense.
Right.
And, I mean, we've been in optics for 30 years.
Wow.
You know, we currently still have our nonprofit. We aren't as active in it right now just because of the shift that we had in business. But, I mean, hopefully once everything settles down, we've talked about reestablishing that with the community again.
And you were here before talking about your story, but share just a little bit. You have an amazing story of how you came from kind of the streets of Santa Ana, not ever seeing optometry in your vision here.
Well, I don't want to get too into it. I mean, I grew up, something I share with a lot of kids, especially just to, as a mentorship, you know, to let them know, hey, wherever you grew up is not something that's going to define who you are. So I grew up on Townsend Street in Santa Ana. I had a very, I'm going to say, colorful upbringing and in and out of trouble. But eventually, I think God led me to a good spot. You know, I by accident came across a woman who gave me a card, told me she was a director from a college that was starting an optical program. And unfortunately, at the time, I was in the middle of not a good time in my life. But I decided to take her business card, and I called her number, and 2 weeks after I was enrolled in an optical program. Since 1995, I've been a board certified, state licensed, you know, optician, and we've been in business probably just as long. I mean, I worked for Lens Crafters for a few years, which I took a lot from that as well. And I actually do a lot of the corporate culture that we took from Luxottica. I actually do apply to a lot of my work, including with our current company, mm-hmm. The security business,
right?
In terms of building just company culture. The way that Luxottica would approach us all the time is they would come out to the office and let us know that, hey, your store is doing great, your numbers are great, your lab's amazing, your employees. And that really gave us ownership of all that. And right now, that's kind of where we're at in building our new business, giving the guards that ownership, our officers, to be able to own their post and own their clients.
So I got to ask one last question, and I'll try and shut up. Mm-hmm. You didn't come from a background, you didn't know anybody, you probably didn't know what the word optometry was, you didn't know anybody that did it. And somehow somebody hands you a card out of the blue. You say, you were praying to God, like, show me a path here, show me something different way, show me a way out. And you got this card, and you took the action. What do you say to people who say, I can't change my life?
Well, we've mentored a lot of students through our career here. From Saddleback High School, we work with a lot of good programs, like Roman Reyna's,
Boxing program.
Yes, with Mary Lara. I mean, I grew up down the street from Jerome Park.
Oh, okay.
So, we've mentored a lot of high school kids, teenagers, in a suit, I'm a different person, but when I'm out in my regular, attire, kids from those similar upbringings are kind of gravitate towards me.
Right.
And so I use those opportunities to be able to share with them that, again, hey, listen, man, where you grew up is not going to define who you have to be. And just try to inspire with through example, again, just try to be aware of what we're doing in the community as far as our not just involvement, but our reputation and what people know us as what we're doing.
Well, you've been a great mentor to a lot of kids from everything that we hear, the stories we hear. Who is a mentor to you?
I've had several mentors in my life, some that I didn't even realize were. Obviously, growing up, I had a mentor that didn't exactly take me down the right path. But in business, I've had a lot of good people. A good mentor of mine currently and has been John Amador.
Yeah.
He's been great. I've learned a lot from other people along the way, like Johnny. Johnny's, mm-hmm. May not be the a mentor to me, but I still learn from him. Clemente, who's done great, by nature, I do sales, and that's what I've been in, business development, probably most of my adult life. The beginning, not even realizing that was an actual title that you could have, but I love sales, and that's what I focused on in the past few years, is just, again, like I was sharing earlier, with the businesses that we've helped along the path, just grow their companies, grow their client base. Now we're applying it to us, to what we do.
Right.
Can you share any of the story you were sharing with us about the guard that couldn't get married because it didn't make enough money, and you said, hey, man, I can help?
So right now we currently have a security company, private security company, AMA Protection Services. And a lot of the times people ask me, how did you even get into that? Like, from optics, how do you pivot from that?
Sure.
And I've had a lot of good people come into my life that have helped me find guidance. Here with the chamber, one of the good reasons I think people should join is become members is the amount of resources available. And because I've had all these people help me along the way, I've always tried to be helpful as well, especially when I see something that people will be in a situation that there's a solution for them. And unfortunately, even myself have been in their shoes where I'm looking for a solution and I just don't see it. And it takes another set of eyes to show it to me. So I did. I had one of the guards at our clinic who was looking to just make a change in his life, but wasn't sure how to. So what we did is we kind of helped guide him along the way, how to prepare for his state license, get his PPO, get his company set up, find an accountant, do everything. And once he was established as a business, I went and did what I love to do, which is grow that client base, you know. And he would go out, set up appointments. I would come in and just close the accounts, close the contracts. And it took a couple of months working with him to, I guess, to help him. And at the same time, asking, as I always do, asking, you know, God for my own guidance, my own path. What do I do now? What's next? And finally realizing, you know, we grew his business to over $500,000 within, I'd say, the first 10 months, you know. And now it's been a couple of years, and we have definitely done great for his company. And when we saw that, when I saw that, I said, you know what? I mean, here I've been praying, God, what do I do? What do I do? What's next? And this whole time it was in front of me. You know, you're doing this for someone else. It's time for you to move on and do it for yourself. So we decided about a year ago to move forward with our own private security company, which we now have live, active, and with contracts. I still manage contracts here in Southern California, and we've expanded out to Stockton area up north.
Okay. What makes a good security guard?
It's very difficult these days. I think before we started this, I mean, that's a very good question, because for me right now, when I look for security guards, I do the same thing in my recruiting process as I've always done. I don't necessarily look for someone who is has the experience, for example. I can recruit someone who has. I look for great customer service, accountability, stuff like that, that you'll notice even when you're at a restaurant. You might go have lunch somewhere, you know, at a Olive Garden, and the waiter comes and he's just an amazing person. He's very attentive and so forth. He's got skills that you can't teach him. And for me, that's what just simply makes a great, you know, partner, an employee, or, you know, eventually an officer. He has skill sets that we can't teach. And the rest of it is teachable, you know, how to read post-site orders, how to do patrols, how to... you know, and for us, we lean on very good trusted partnerships within the community, with police departments for our training, de-escalations and stuff like that. So we actually put them through we give them a really good training and set them up so that when they go out to do their job, they're not freaking out or don't know what to do. Plus, we have seasoned guards that, they own their post, and they understand they're an extension of our company.
How long is the training program typically for a new guard?
Well, the program itself is ongoing. We do, for one, we want to keep it ongoing to just keep them motivated, you know, keep their performance.
Sure.
You know, I like to set goals for everybody. Hey, you know, right now you got your guard card. Now what? Well, now you're working with us, but you also want to grow within our field, you know. And a lot of the times, like in Stockton, we just set up the team up there, and right off the bat, you can see which ones step up. There's a handful of them that just took the initiative to come in, and they're starting to be accountable for the post, you know. And so we want to make sure we have any other training that can come to them. That way they can keep growing and they don't grow stagnant, which is what we saw. Before we started the company, we did interview several companies, several guards. And there's a lot of the companies are still running their businesses like, you know, they have been for the past 20 years. And I mean, for us, there's the industry's evolved so much. I mean, we came in with a fresh set of eyes, not something we're doing, but we came in from other industries. I mean, my background, not only in optics, it's just in business administration and just leadership, as well as business development. So coming in with a whole new set of eyes, we're able to kind of focus on what we want to do different. A lot of the companies just grow stagnant. They don't understand how to evolve, I think, sometimes. Especially right now with all the technology that's out there. AI technology, for one. I mean, we incorporate it into our programs. And we show our guards just how to utilize it to make their life easier. So we don't use AI as a... We're not trying to replace anything with AI. It's more of a support as a tool that allows the guards to evolve in the way they do their reporting, the way they do their patrols. It really helps. But yeah, I think a lot of the companies probably need to change just a little bit.
And if I'm an organization that's looking for a security company, what should I be looking for?
I always tell the clients, prospective clients, when I go and interview them, one thing I always ask them about is, when it comes to your current services or provider, if there was anything you could change, what would that be? And a lot of the time, they have the same complaints. They have the same complaints. They can't find the guard when they need it. They don't know what's going on with the reports. A lot of the companies still using paper reporting. So for me, I let my clients know, hey, interview the companies just like you're interviewing an employee. You know, is this going to be a service provider that's going to offer me peace of mind, or is this someone who's just going to bring me something else to manage? When you have clients that come in and tell you, hey, you know what, I mean, as soon as I signed the contract, they disappeared. They just left me a guard here who now I have to manage as well. You know, so are they giving you peace of mind or just something else that you got to deal with? And for us, we're very hands-on. We're a growing company, and that allows us to be very hands-on. And for us, our service starts the minute we sign that contract. Up in Stockton, we have our client up there. We went up there three times to set everything up. Spoke to the client several times. It's a recuperative center for court mandated as well. Individuals that live there, so there's very strict rules that need to be enforced, as well as curfews. And so the guards have to be really on point there. And but we went up there, we spoke to the directors, spoke to the client. We did a full walkthrough on how the patrol was going to look like to make sure that it was tailored exactly for what the client's expectations are. We do offer, like I said, you know, when as far as the guards not being around, unable to find them, and we use geofencing and GPS to track them. We use iCloud, cloud-based reporting, so they can get the reports as they need them. There's obviously a few bugs right now that we're still working through. We partnered with a staffing company, Vanessa, who's here.
Right.
And she's
one of our other members, yeah.
Yeah, and again, that's another reason to become a member. You know, sure. So many resources. And she's building our platform to make everything more streamlined. There's so many other softwares that you could use, but understanding what we do, like I said, with a fresh set of eyes versus what's already in the industry, we do want to change things up a little bit. And that partnership with Staff Grit, with Vanessa, I think will allow us to be able to have one of the biggest things I deal with right now is if a guard calls out, finding coverage is very difficult. So being able to have a platform where you can build profiles of guards that are ready to work, not only will it make it easier for us to work here, but it'll make it easier for us to expand on national. I mean, if we want to go to New York, Texas, whatever, we'll be able to manage those clients very well, knowing we'll have the coverage as well.
Yeah, because the technology is more of a staffing technology, right? It's like,
yes.
Allows you to do, and I think from what I remember from talking to Vanessa, it really took off during COVID when they were having to staff nurses,
yes,
on the fly. You know, and just in just a difficult, difficult time for everybody, right?
Everybody should listen to that past episode. I think it was last week's episode where she talked
a couple weeks ago.
Here, where she talked. Yeah. I forgot the name of the company.
It's wonderful to
go. GoRN, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah,
GoRN and Staff Grit.
Yeah.
Staff. What was Staff Grit? That was it. Staff
Correct.
Grit. And that was the idea that how do you sort of like an Uber? How do you quickly get somebody to fill a slot?
Right. At the last minute, last second.
Yeah. Right.
Whether it's in a critical thing like nursing or guards at a building, or so you can't just go without.
Yeah, right now we're very, like I said, that's a challenging situation that we're put in. I have a client, and again, my clients, I'm very hands-on. We're not just, like I said, we're not just a provider, we're a partner. If I have a guard call out and I'm having difficulty finding coverage, well, guess who's going to show up? You know, I have a uniform as well, so I show up. I have to make sure that my client's taken care of. But yeah, with Vanessa's new technology, I mean, and software, it will allow us to just pass that shift along to someone else who's available that can take it and cover. We'll always have coverage, so it's still trying to streamline all the little things to work for our industry. But I think once it's running very once it's running the way it should be, then it'll be extremely useful tool.
Right. Besides staffing, finding the right security guards and the right technology, what are some of the other challenges of running a security company?
Well, one of the challenges right now we have is kind of trying to educate our clients on a proactive company like ourselves versus a reactive company, and where the value's at. Again, when we started this, we interviewed several business owners, and we just noticed that they all compete on a billing rate. Mm-hmm. You know, this company is billing X amount of money. Well, he's going to come in a dollar less. And, you know, it just kind of, it was so scripted in terms of, it was no longer about managing the client, taking care of all the situations. It was just about putting a body and, you know, how many posts can we fill? How many hours can we bill? For us, it's become a little bit different, but it is challenging when we're trying to educate clients more on a proactive approach that we take. We want to prevent things from happening, so we do a full walkthrough, make sure we identify any security gaps, any risks that we want to address beforehand.
Right.
And versus what I think the current model is right now, a reactive service company, which is a type of company that reacts as things happen.
Mm.
So there's a theft that happens now that's when the security company shows up or reacts. Versus proactive approach that we take. We're trying to make sure we prevent all these things. So I was with one of my clients this was a Monday in Huntington Beach, and it was like, hey, you know, I just want to review some of the things we have. You have, not only do we do reports on any incidents, any transients that we have to escort off the property, any cars that need to be towed because they're parked wrong, any, you know, simple stuff like that. We also identify maintenance issues that need to be addressed before they become bigger problems. Yeah. And security gaps in their properties. You know, they had one of the doors is so old that it just doesn't hold anymore. So what we notice is that some of the transients that show up at night just push it open. And this is a garage door that once that's open, it gives them access to the whole property. So, you know, we walk through the whole thing, how to prevent versus, hey, we'll show up once it happens and see what.
Right.
So trying to educate the client on those, the differences is a challenge, as well as trying to explain and trying to educate them on the AI technology that we're utilizing. A lot of them don't understand the technology, but thankfully a lot of my clients, what they do understand is peace of mind. So as long as I can provide that, they're thrilled. So they're happy.
When I was in college, I had the misfortune of working as a security guard down in the auto factories down in Detroit. And all we were is just a body. We were just supposed to intimidate somebody here. We didn't do anything. We didn't look for anything. We were just supposed to be, I'm a big guy, so they hired me because I was tall. And that's all it was. It's just put bodies on the thing. What you're talking about is different. Put eyes on it.
Yes.
Look, don't ignore. Don't walk by that open door. Don't walk by that problem that's going to develop into something here. If you've got people actively scanning this stuff, that's a whole different reaction than just a big bouncer on the property.
And that's exactly the approach we're trying to take. You know, when you asked earlier about what makes a good security guard,
right.
Even Vanessa's interviewing process and recruitment is going to be a huge help when it comes to that, is trying to find the right people that have the right fit. But yeah, I mean, when I walk through with some of the guards, I try to get a sense of, you know, is this guy just here to collect a paycheck at the end of the week, mm-hmm. which is fine. You know, a lot of us, we need to pay bills.
Sure.
But you'd be surprised at how many officers out there, security officers, are out on a post. And sadly enough, because the company decided to go in at a low billing rate, they have to pay their guard less money. And so he's making less money, but man, that guy owns that post, you know. It's when you hear people show up and they tell the guard, bro, you're doing too much. He's doing his job, you know. And so those people, yeah, I mean, I've hired guards that were at South Coast Plaza. South Coast Plaza wasn't paying him enough. Well, I probably shouldn't say the names, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we've
hired. We'll cut out the name South Coast Plaza.
Yeah,
right?
we've hired guards that have been at other sites,
sure.
But we see something special. And I mean, it's recruiting. It's part of recruiting. You know, you're out there. I'm never not.
When working, I see guards, they're sleeping, they're eating, they're doing something else. They're not actively. They're just a body to sort of intimidate somebody there.
You know what? It wasn't until I got into this industry that I started noticing that. Like, yeah. I go to the bank, and there'd be some guy there that, you know, it would probably benefit him to stand up and walk around a bit, and he's just kind of sitting on the chair, slumped over on his phone, you know, chips on his belly. And
just putting in the hour.
And I'm just like, bro, that's not working, you know? But, yeah, I mean, obviously we try to avoid those. I would not want to have, you know, for us, our clients, kind of an extension of our brand, and our guard is a representation of our reputation. So we don't want to have someone there who's just not doing his job. We want to make sure that everything is working, it's cohesive, and, you know, it is a true partnership.
Right. Being proactive, making sure that the people... You have to go interview your own client, right? There might be some gigs that you don't want to take, I would imagine, but...
Oh, yeah. With the first gentleman that we... I mean, I learned a lot helping him establish his business. I learned a lot of what to do, what not to do, what to stay away from. And yeah, some of the times, I mean, I try to teach him the same thing. Listen, bro, a lot of the times you have to learn, hey, that's not my client, you know, and stay away from
him. Right.
You know, you might find yourself, just because you want to take on the contract, hey, there's money, and you find yourself in a whole heap of trouble because it's not something that's manageable, and it's just not something that's worth it. So, yeah, you need to learn to walk away.
How does somebody who wants to be a security guard, not you, Paul, because
I gave that career up many years ago.
Your career is over in that. is looking for, you know, an opportunity. How do they contact you? And then in the other regard, how does an organization contact you as well that needs a new security firm?
Anybody that wants to contact us can go directly to our website. You can visit amaprotectionservices.com. Again, it's amaprotectionservices.com. And it has all of our contact information. Okay. If you want to apply for work, there's a link there. You can apply, fill out our application, all of our forms. If you want to reach out to me, my contact information is there as well. And I welcome, you know, visits, even if it's just to explore options, you know. Sometimes we're not the right fit. But I think we're a very beneficial company just because, again, we're growing and we have that eagerness to become better, to evolve.
And what does AMA stand for? Anything?
We wanted something short to kind of have on our logos, you know, that was distinguished. You know, AMA was pretty simple, pretty easy. Yeah, once you have that protection services on the back, it's still a big old website.
Yeah.
That you have to deal with, yeah. But my email, if you ever do want to reach out to me through email, it's victor@amaprotects.com. And so we did shorten our email. That way it wasn't like this big old long email like the website.
Yeah. But, well, we're excited to see what you guys do as a company. One of the exciting things we do as a chamber is help people start a business and grow a business, fund a business. And it's exciting, a lot of the new businesses that get started, you know, as members, right? So that's kind of unique as a chamber as well.
And how many of them start two businesses?
Yeah, you've started a couple businesses. So it's like you're a serial entrepreneur, which is great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's about being receptive. I always tell people, hey, you know what? Opportunities are out there. Just you have to be receptive to the opportunities that are placed before you.
But it's like being a security guard. You got to notice. You can walk right by and not see that door open.
Well, be a Penn State linebacker, right? Have your head on a swivel.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you have. I mean, you're right.
That's exactly it.
You have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had I probably shouldn't get too much into this, but I'll share very brief. I mean, one of our clients has 900 units.
It's like affordable housing or something?
Oh, no. This is luxury living.
Oh, luxury living. Because luxury you were living. Talking about you did some stuff for Jamboree or something.
Yeah, we do different clients. Some of our clients contracts I've managed are cemeteries, funeral homes. We've got the beach properties. We've got clinics, construction sites, just everything. Hey, you need something protected and you need peace of mind, contact me. I have somebody who can protect it, and we're going to bring you peace of mind. And But it's being receptive in the sense that this particular client with 900 units in a luxury living resort style had mentioned, you know, I wish I had somebody who did residential cleaning that I could just refer to my clients. Oh, well, you know, I'm involved in that. So she's asking for my company's information, which I don't have.
Right.
But it's an opportunity that you have to look at and say, well, how hard is it for me to open up a residential cleaning company?
Right.
And hire people?
Give them two services, not one.
Yeah, and you have two revenue streams from the same client. So it's again, receptive, just being receptive.
900 units is a lot, so yeah.
It's a big place.
Yeah, that's a big place.
I had a bar and restaurant years ago in Mission Viejo, Kelly McHugh's. Nice place, been there for a number of years. Could never get good staff or keep good staff. And when I got them, they didn't pay attention. I always said they could walk in with a chainsaw and nobody would notice in our bar because they're out, you know, flirting with the customer, getting the next drink order. Or they would never look left, right, up, or down. They just looked at whatever they were supposed to be doing in that moment, serving a drink, making a burger, something. And I couldn't get them to just swivel their head, as you said, and look around.
Yeah, I'm very proud of my guards right now. Everyone in there is very, very knowledgeable and very hungry. I think between my business partner and myself, I think we go in there. And one thing I tell my kids, you know, a lot of times my energy walks into a room before I do. And with the team I have, it's like they look at me definitely for guidance and leadership.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good. Like I said, I saw a couple of them already step up to something bigger.
Well, you set the tone, right?
Absolutely. You know. And I've been in business administration and leadership for some time, and I interviewed. When we had one of our guards that came to the interview, he actually hasn't been able to find a job in his chosen field, which he has a degree in counseling. And one of my clients actually has been looking for a counselor for his center. Mm-hmm. And after talking to the gentleman for a little bit, it was kind of like, hey, man, looking at your qualifications, I think if you don't mind, we're going to push this resume to one of our clients that's actually looking for someone with your skills. And so when we're able to offer that to our employees as well, we don't want to keep anyone down. If you have good opportunities, when I interviewed him, I told my guards, listen, if you're going to be on my circle, you have to understand that I'm going to push you to grow. I'm very big on employee development. And what that means is that, you know, you may or may not stay with me forever, but definitely after 6 months of being with me, you'll be a different person.
And I think that's a key, right, element mm-hmm. of any good employees. They want to be a continuous learner. They want to continue to get better, continue to learn, and especially if they have a great leader like yourself. That definitely helps.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we walk into, like I said earlier, a bank where an SO, a security officer, is just kind of sitting in his chair, slumped over, not really doing anything, it really talks, it speaks on the leadership that he's dealing with.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely
if,
does.
If his supervisor or his people would go out and visit him, just encourage him to do a little bit. I mean, we encourage our guys, hey, you know what, get CPR certified. Now you have something else in your resume. And hey, you know what, do this. Hey, do that. We bring in new, again, from one of our retired officers from the PD, they bring new de-escalation training. We try to put them through real life scenarios where they feel just more empowered, so that when they're out there, they don't just they actually know what to do. One of our clients that reached out to us said his previous security company provider actually had the guards at the property, and an incident took place where the guards didn't even call 911. Like, they just kind of sat there and looked at the whole thing play out.
Ran in the other direction.
it's just something that we got to be, again, proactive. You know, if I have my guards well trained, and as a leader, if I empower them, at the end of the day, when they leave my side, after even if it's on a phone call, they leave feeling good. You know, like, hey man, this is my post. You know, hey, I'm representing. Hey,
right.
And I love to hear that, you know, when I send out the early morning message, hey, man, everyone have a good day. Hey, Vic, I'm on shift. I got you, man. I mean, that's good, you know. If they don't reply at all, then that's not good.
No, it's not good.
Yeah, but everybody looks forward to, you know, taking care of their post and the client.
So give us the website one last time as we wrap up.
AMAProtectionServices.com.
Okay.
We want to thank you for being on today and being a great member in another business and everything you do for us as Santa Claus and other things you do for us as a chamber as well. You and your beautiful wife, Valerie, thank you. And thank you for being here. And thank you to our listeners who listened today.
Absolutely. And if everybody has questions about anything or needs help, I'm always here for, even if it's just a conversation of what you can do in your own company. You don't necessarily have to hire me for one thing or another, but yeah, that's what we're here for. That's what the chamber obviously has taught me as well.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to hear the stories, what's happening in our community. Our community is your community, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.